It's now time for The Sit Down with Don Tony.
The Sit Down, where Don Tony talks one-on-one with his followers.
What are you looking at?
About the world of pro wrestling, pop culture, and so much more.
The Sit Down with Don Tony.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
All right. What's up, gang? February 6th, 2022. La Nostra Familia. Thank you for spending part of your Sunday night with the family. The Sit Down is here. And we're going to talk about whatever you want, pretty much. I got my coffee. I got my water. Even though I know it's diet iced tea, but check this out. I actually picked myself up a little something to enjoy on the shows. Now I got to be careful I don't tip this over. This is an Ember mug, and this is a mug that actually you can, if you keep it on a coaster, you can have it sit on it all day long. And what it'll do is it'll keep your coffee at a certain temperature all day long. If you don't have it on a charger like I do, it has about an hour to an hour and 10 minute battery, and you program the temperature you want with your coffee. So right now, my coffee is 140 degrees. The maximum you could make it is 145. So what's going to happen now is I just selected it, and it's going to heat up the coffee to 145, and when it's ready, it'll send me in a little alert to tell me your coffee is the temperature requested. So this way we got a hot banging, that doesn't sound right, a hot banging cup of coffee for the entire duration of the beverage. Probably not the show, but it's pretty cool. I like it. You know, my advice to all of you, if you're going to pick it up, wait for a sale. They usually go for about $1.29 if you get the 14-ounce mug. Always get the 14-ounce because you may have to add milk. You may add cream. Maybe you want a little bit extra coffee in there if you're going to be doing, you know, something. But I kind of like it. See, look, and the coffee's up to 142. It'll go up to 145, and it'll tell me your coffee is ready. Cheers, everybody. Wow. I tell you, it's pretty amazing the difference between 140 and 145. It's probably already 145, but, you know, it just takes a little time to catch up. So, hey, listen, before we go any further, I got two announcements. Number one, if you go on his social media, I'm sure he would really appreciate the birthday wishes. Happy birthday to JD from New York. Today, the man turns 40 years old. 40! I remember when I turned 40, wasn't too enjoyable, to be honest with you. You know, like I used to say at that time, hey, I'm still 30. I'm 30 with 10 years experience, you know? So he's 40, so you might want to send him some birthday wishes. And I don't know. For some reason, my coffee's still sitting at 141. Oh, because I didn't hit enter. Stupid me. See, now it's going up. There it is. Look, your coffee is the right temperature. There you go, 145. We'll be taking calls in a few minutes. Also, something else that I know a lot of you will really, really appreciate. Now, I've been doing this since 97. Trust me, I'm not getting into the whole thing. This is an announcement. Since 1997, I don't have guests. The only guest that I ever had on was Conan, because obviously his health circumstances at the time. And we also had Trina Michaels, who is an adult film star, but she was a friend of the show, and she enjoyed wrestling. We just had a chat. It wasn't even bringing her on as a guest, interview. It was just, you know, coming on for a little bit, almost like caller calling in. But, you know, a lot of you out there over the years have wanted to see me have guests on the shows. people in wrestling, people in the podcasting world. And, you know, the reason why I never did, and this was a running, I don't even want to say a running joke, but I'll get right to the point. You know, after you do it 5, 10, 15 years, and you're at the top of the pile, or you're right in that top 10, you know, you realize that, wow, people are tuning in for me. People are tuning in for my former co-host. People are tuning in for Mish. They're not tuning in because we have Eric Bischoff on as a guest. People are not tuning in because we got a Diamond Dallas Page as a guest. I'm not saying that they're bad people. Of course they're awesome. But the idea is that you can have this many people tune in for this long, and they're not there waiting for a special guest to come on. That is the ultimate compliment you could ever give to the show. So after all that time, you're like, hey, 15 years, never had a guest. Can't break the streak now. It's time to break the streak a little bit. And we've been joking for the last couple of months, the forbidden door. And we talked about podcasters. We should have the forbidden door for podcasters. And I've asked you a few times over the last couple of months, who do you want? You know, give me some names. And you gave me people in wrestling. You gave me some people in podcasting. Well, there was one person more than anybody that you wanted to see come on to talk a little bit of wrestling, maybe a little debate. You send in questions. And today I DM'd him and I said, I'd love to have you on. You know, we'll just chat about whatever. Friendly conversation. Maybe that'll be the launch of Donversations. And he has accepted. So, everybody, this guy, Jason Solomonster, will be coming on. It looks like Thursday, February 24th, will be the night. So I will probably put up a thread so people could send in, all of you could send in maybe a question. And, you know, we'll get into some questions. We probably would rather do the questions live. But, yeah, so Jason's going to be coming on. John Bello, JD from New York, and others, believe me, a lot of you who have come up with other names, I'm not stopping with just Jason. I'm going to invite others as well. And I think instead of it being the Don Tony show, because, look, I want the show to be about both the hosts, me and whoever else is on. I don't want it to feel like the Don Tony show with special guests. I want it to feel even. So I'm going to make up a banner that will have Jason's logo on it, and I'll make up a template so when we have other people on, they can have their shows and logos displayed as well. So I don't think Tony Khan would come on, Mike, to be honest with you. Look, I've said this many times, even back in the day with Dixie Carter. If I would have had Dixie Carter on, I would have been nothing but respectable. I would have been very professional. But there's a few questions that I would want answered that would never be answered. And it's not gotcha. I don't play gotcha. I hate gotcha. To me, gotcha is childish. You know, I'll never forget the Mike Johnson moment when Triple H, you know, when Mike Johnson called in and talked about blood and guts. And Triple H owned him so bad that people in the background, you heard them laugh. We got to revisit that clip. We have to revisit that clip. Man, if I don't think I have that audio in this computer. I told you there's a new setting. Oh, yeah, I don't have it in this computer. Oh, shit. If I had this, this would have made my night. It would have been more enjoyable than this cup of coffee right now. Wow, it's hot. Yeah, we'll revisit that clip later this week. Triple H owning Mike Johnson. That's not me. I'm not about playing gotcha. But there's obvious questions I would want to bring up. If I ever invited Tony Khan on and Tony accepted, I promise everyone it would be straight up professional. I'm not a dick, all right? I know I have a history of being a dick many, many years ago, but you do grow up, you do mature. But there's a few questions that I would want answered, and I don't think they would be answered. In fact, look, I'm just hearing about the controversy now that when Tony Khan comes on Busted Open Radio that Bully Ray is not part of the segments. Now, look, with all due respect, it's got to stem from the John Moxley stuff. Now, look, I am saying my opinion right now, and yes, I want to do timestamps. Let's talk about Bully Ray and Tony Khan and Busted Open for a minute, since you all brought it up. From what I see, this is true. Bully Ray is not part of the segments. My honest take on it is this. If that is true, and I believe it is, it stems from John Moxley. It stems from Bully Ray's comments that John Moxley should apologize for the fans. In my opinion, Tony Khan is not John Moxley's father. Tony Khan is not his keeper. All right. Yes, John Moxley's featured in AEW more than anywhere else, but this is something between John Moxley and Bully Ray. And if Tony Khan is trying to make a statement that you want me on Busted Open Radio, I do not want to have any conversation with Bully Ray. That's pussy. That is pussy. If they're trying to avoid that confrontation, look, maybe Tony Khan wants to tell off Bully Ray. But that's personal, man. And I think that that is ridiculous. I think that is ridiculous. So that is my honest opinion on it. I mean, I understand, you know, and I've said this for a couple of years now, that AEW is going to be the first millennial promotion. It is well documented. I said that before it even launched. And you could see how full-blown that is. And Tony Khan is a good man. You know, he may say some dumb things from time to time, and he may overhype something because it's extremely exciting to him. You know, look, I like Nick Gage, his appearance on AEW, you know, but for Tony Khan, it was almost like a masturbation moment. For a lot of other people out there, it was very, very uncomfortable. He should have learned the lesson when you had Kenny Omega versus John Moxley on that pay-per-view that went until like 2 o'clock in the morning, and I'm exaggerating, and you had people online, you know, I feel very uncomfortable right now. You know, you should have learned that, you know, just because it's Nick F. Engaged, that suddenly they'll be like, oh, in that case, that's okay. You know, it might be uber exciting for him and maybe for a small core audience, but it may not be for the majority out there. So I just personally think that if Bully Ray is not taking part of segments on his own show because of Tony Khan, that is ridiculous. And that is one of the reasons why I never did interviews. That's one of the reasons why I never did interviews, because imagine that I can't ask an obvious question. Imagine that I have to go along with playing footsie. How many times did I say back in the day, I'm not playing footsie under the table. I'm not jiggling toes with someone just to have a fun interview and so they could come back. Busted Open sounds like they care more about the ratings and having Tony on as a guest than standing up and saying, no, man, you know, Bully Ray's, you know, is my opinion, he was wrong of what he said, but he has that right. He has that right to be wrong. He has that right to say something dumb. He didn't go Brian Kendrick level. And if that's the case, that is ridiculous. There's no excuse. There is none. There is no excuse. Unless it's just a coincidence that right before Tony comes on, I got to use the bathroom. I can't hold it in. I got to go. I got to go. I got to go. Don't go. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. These are grown fucking adults acting like, you know, like children. Kevin Milwaukee says he can imagine co-hosting a show with me. Keep imagining. I'm kidding. No, it'd be cool. Oh, by the way, we are going to take calls tonight, but I'm making an announcement. I know some of you out there are not going to like it, but we got to keep it fair. We had a little discussion yesterday about it. Taking calls. I understand there's a lot of people who are very excited to call in. And I know there's a lot of people who want to make their own points to tell the world how they feel about certain topics in wrestling. But the thing is that going through emails, I'm getting more and more complaints of people that are like, look, man, I hit redial like 50 times. I can't get through. And you got somebody on the show for 20 minutes long. You know, it's not fair to everybody who wants to call in and just ask a simple question. And, you know, the more they're right, they're right. So if you're going to call in, you got to limit your question to one or two. I mean, seriously, it's only fair for everybody else that's trying to call in. And if people can't help themselves, I don't want to be rude and just disconnect the call, because I used to do that 15 years ago. And I would be like, John, thank you for the call. And then I would get into the rest of the answer. And then when I go to take the next call, ding, ding, hey, your honor, is this? Yeah, it's John. You cut me off. You hung up on me. So keep your questions to one or two at the most tonight. And if people can't go along with that, maybe don't call in. I think it's only fair for everybody who wants to call in. Otherwise, we just keep doing live chat and we don't take calls. So, no, it's not even like a 3-minute minimum or 2-minute minimum, Mike. I mean, if somebody asks a question, I mean, somebody's not going to say, give me your top 100 WWE wrestlers in history. No, whatever the question is, it's something that only needs a 1 or 2 minute answer. You know, it's not anything uber complex. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and give a 20 minute answer for a discussion. So, Lee from RCWR, shout out to you, my friend. He's paying close attention to the time lengths of callers after what I said on the show. Yeah, do that for me. I would really appreciate that. You know, and I'm not trying to be rude for anybody who calls in. Don't get me wrong. Every one of you that have called in, I love the conversation. It's fucking awesome. But you got to keep in mind that, you know, when you ask 4, 5, 6 questions, or you ask me a question and I answer, you know, and then you decide to go on your own and retort of the question. And meanwhile, somebody's just hitting redial over and over again and looking like, come on, man, 5, 10, 20 minutes. You know, it's not fair. So we're going to try that tonight and see how it goes. So I want to, before we take calls, I want to talk about Sasha Banks and Bayley. And this is fabulous, because last week, Mish and I had an indirect conversation about Sasha, because she's not 100% yet to return. She can return, but they got to be very, very careful with Sasha. They don't want to screw up WrestleMania, obviously. And who knows with Saudi Arabia? Saudi Arabia is still 2 weeks away. So she could be able to go there. We don't know. Bayley, everybody believes, will be back in time for WrestleMania. So we were talking indirectly last week about Bayley and Sasha, but not together. And going through questions, going through feedback from all of you, I spent about an hour and a half earlier in the comment section responding to as many comments as I could. And a few of you were complaining about, why would WWE have Zelina Vega eliminate Sasha Banks in the Royal Rumble, of all people, because it doesn't boost up Zelina Vega's credibility? With all due respect, I mean, you know, I think some erect penises are taller than Zelina Vega. I love Zelina Vega. I'm not saying that she's not. I'm happy for her. Remember all my rants. I couldn't believe when people, she won the tag titles. She was on a winning streak. And before she came back, everybody's like, they never gave her a break. She'd always lose, she'd always lose. But Zelina Vega eliminating Sasha Banks, what did that do? Then it freaking hit me. And I DM'd someone who I trust. Hey, you think there's any chance they're planting the seeds for Sasha Banks and Bayley to return as a tag team and take on Carmella and Zelina Vega for those tag titles at WrestleMania? And I got a response. Person's looking into it. But apparently there's been some buzz very recently about Zelina and Carmella keeping those titles to WrestleMania. Now, there's a big difference. This person did not say, word in WWE, there's rumors, there's buzz going around that Sasha and Bayley will take on Zelina and Carmella at WrestleMania. That's not what he said. What he said to me is that WWE right now is contemplating if Zelina and Carmella keep those belts to WrestleMania. Now, if that's the case, you look at WrestleMania moments and you look who is going to be the tag team to take those titles off those two women at WrestleMania. Bayley's coming back soon. See, John Bello, if anybody checks out the chat, John Bello, in fact, this is such a good answer, and I'm not mocking him. This is such a good answer. It deserves to go on the screen. WWE don't care about tag team wrestling. No, they do. And fans do as well. The thing is that for a while, it hasn't been a priority in WWE. And fans, it's like matter of fact. Look at Shinsuke Nakamura with his championship. I mean, I understand he was injured, but the fact that this guy hasn't defended those titles, that title, since September is a joke. You think of Isaiah Swerve Scott. When he had that title in NXT, I think he defended it once in his entire run. There are some titles that WWE puts on the back burner, and then suddenly they put a whole bunch of attention to it. And Carmella and Zelina at WrestleMania, just by default, they have to have a high-profile match. So if this is the way, because Sasha is not in the singles title hunt right now, Sasha's not going to take on Becky for the belt and win it. Sasha's not taking on Charlotte for the belt and winning it. I find it almost impossible to believe that Sasha would be added to one of those matches at WrestleMania and make it a three-way. So how do you keep Sasha and her name in the lights and with Bayley returning? And the answer is Sasha Banks and Bayley reforming a tag team. They made history with those tag team titles. They make history again. And that's what you do with those women's tag team titles. So I think there is a good possibility that Sasha and Bayley, if Zelina and Carmella keep those titles to Mania, and that could very well happen because there is little buzz for the next 2 weeks with Saudi Arabia, unless they got something planned for Saudi Arabia. But that's, again, you think Bayley, not ready to return. But after Saudi Arabia, you're now approaching the third week in February. That leaves you only 5 weeks to Mania. So you announce a tag title match at Mania with 2 weeks of build, 3 weeks of build. That's only 2 weeks after Saudi Arabia. So it can be done, and it's not as far away as it appears. Damian, I understand the love for Kairi Sane. I mean, I have, obviously, the ratio of men's wrestling shirts to women's in my collection is probably 50-1. But I have purchased Kairi Sane and Asuka. You know, I've purchased their shirts, autographed photos, memorabilia. I've given it away. You know, I loved the Kabuki Warriors. Kairi Sane is overseas. And, you know, I don't think WWE, she's not somebody that you would want to bring in just for a quick run. I brought this up a couple of weeks ago with Kurt Angle. And there's some news today with Kurt Angle. Brought up a couple of weeks ago that if you're going to have anybody come in for a short-term run, it's going to be a household name in wrestling. Lita, Trish Stratus. Look, we talked last week about Sasha and Bayley versus Trish and Lita at WrestleMania. That's not bad. So imagine that. That could be an option as well. Wow, this freaking mug is awesome, man. I mean, the coffee is still just as hot. I'm liking it. I only expect it to last an hour. So, man, I wish I could last an hour. Wish I could last 15 minutes. But I just, Kyrie Sane is just not a household name that you would want to bring all the way from Japan just for a two-month run and then go back to Japan. I just don't see it. I never, look, when we talked about the Royal Rumble and a lot of you said, what about Kyrie Sane? What about Kyrie Sane? What about Kyrie Sane? I never thought, and we talked, I never thought that really was a possibility. Anything could happen, obviously, but it just didn't seem it. And I still think of those news reporters, the day of the Royal Rumble, Kyrie Sane spotted in St. Louis. It was a lie. It was a lie. So no, I don't see Kyrie Sane and Asuka. The only way I see them reforming is if Asuka is no longer in WWE and she goes back overseas, or Kyrie Sane is going to be back in the States for the foreseeable future. And those two situations I don't see right now. So Kurt Angle was in the news today. Are you all finally starting to realize what I said about Shane McMahon? Last Wednesday, give me a little credit for that one. Last Wednesday, when I emailed a few people and tried to get some answers about Shane McMahon, one person responded back and just wrote, highly exaggerated. I listened to Jim Cornette's podcast this morning, and Jim Cornette admitted it as well. Shane McMahon was not an employee of WWE. He did not get fired. People used the fired stuff for clickbait up the gazoo last week. It is simple. It is exactly what we said last Wednesday, last Thursday, yesterday. All that happened with Shane McMahon. And look, it's a big deal. I'm sure it offended, hurt Shane McMahon's feelings, but WWE just decided creatively, nah, we're not gonna go forward with you at WrestleMania, hyping it up with the Elimination Chamber. You know, we're gonna go in a different direction. That would hurt anybody's feelings. Add Kurt Angle to that as well. Kurt Angle, yesterday or today, revealed that WWE was bringing him in for like a 3-week run. That tells me possibly Elimination Chamber, Saudi Arabia. So maybe that happens later this year at the next Saudi Arabia event. But it was last Monday that Mish and I were talking about, can you imagine if they did something with Chad Gable, even if he was on an opposite side of a team? That would be freaking phenomenal. WWE changed their mind. Now, this could have led into WrestleMania 2 with Kurt Angle. We don't know. I haven't heard the exact comments. But what happened with Kurt Angle is the same that happened with Shane McMahon. WWE just decided, look, you know, we just decided we're not going to go that route creatively. That's it. That's it. There's no other controversy. In fact, I didn't even know that apparently Shane McMahon showed up at the Royal Rumble with Nick Khan. Think about that for a minute. Nick Khan is not on creative, obviously. But Shane McMahon showing up with Nick Khan, this isn't New Jack City. This is not the Mafia. This is not Goodfellas, where, you know, Nick Khan is showing up in the building with Shane McMahon. This is not the Joe Pesci moment where you think he's being made and they open up the house and there's nobody there and then Joe Pesci just realizes my life is over. Nick Khan didn't set up Shane McMahon. Yeah, Shane, you're going to do this. You're going to do this. You're going to enter at 26. I mean, 25. People understand why I said that. Yeah, you're going to do this. You're going to, well, you know what? They're saying Seth Rollins, you know, it's not a bad idea. I'll talk to Vince. This is that. Blah, 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 blah. And Nick Khan was not laughing under his breath. So, oh, this guy's in for a freaking rude awakening. So it was just creative, period. WWE went in different directions. And guess what? As much as I would love to see Kurt Angle come back, if it was just for Saudi Arabia, not now, not on the road to WrestleMania. You could plant seeds and tease a little bit more on social media for an extra couple of weeks. Then you could lead to a little angle, pun intended, on TV. And then that leads to the next Saudi Arabia event. Trust me, there's a lot of legends in wrestling that would love a Saudi Arabia payday. Seriously, it's almost like some of the women were wrestlicious back in the day. Oh my God, some of the women would wrestle-icious when they realized what that guy was offering some of the women. Jimmy Hart, trust me, Jimmy Hart didn't need the megaphone for you to hear him screaming from like thousands of miles away in happiness, the deal that he got. So Kurt Angle, they went in a different creative direction as well. Shit happens. Shit happens. The difference is that some of it's been made public and sometimes it's kept private. If Kurt Angle never revealed that, would you have ever known? Probably not. If Shane McMahon was never in the Royal Rumble and WWE, let's say Shane McMahon was never supposed to be in the Royal Rumble. Let's say Shane McMahon was just going to be at Elimination Chamber and WrestleMania. If he never appeared in the Royal Rumble and WWE privately just said to Shane, look, we're not going to go the Elimination Chamber WrestleMania route. We're going in a different direction. Chances are we probably would have never known. Because something tells me Shane McMahon is not on text message. I don't think Vince or Bruce Pritchard or anyone else is hanging out with anybody on social media and saying, you're not going to believe this one. You know, we probably would have never known. Think of all the creative changes that have been made over the years that we never heard about ever. You might hear it 5 years later in an interview. Oh, WWE was good, thinking about doing this. They were thinking about doing this. Oh, they were thinking about doing this. I never heard about that. Yeah, you're not supposed to. So the thing with Shane McMahon is that some of the stuff behind the scenes at the Royal Rumble, other people saw. Now, when you get someone who's still kind of in catering, don't want to name any names, but I think you could figure out at least one or two people I'm talking about, and they, you know, follow some reporters online and they have talked to them in the past and been seen with them in the past, hanging out, going to the store, shopping. And then, you know, something like this leaks out because it's right in front of everybody to see. Of course we're going to hear about it. Dorian Mace, oh, shout out to Dorian. You know what? I want to mention this. Happy anniversary, 6 months as a channel member. Let me mention this quickly. On Monday, Kingsley Davies, I had announced that Kingsley Davies won the YouTube predictions contest. I did a Steve Harvey. I made a boo-boo. Dorian Mesa actually won. He actually did better than Kingsley. But me, I am always here to make things right. So they both get the prize. So I will settle up with them tomorrow. And tomorrow I will work on the Patreon contest because, you know, there's more entries, so it will take a little bit more time. So, Joseph Morrison, welcome to the family. Now a member of La Nostra Familia. Awesome. Bob the Builder, shout out to you. Thank you for the super chat. Do I see Mandy Rose being called up soon? No. Why? Why not? Why? I mean, she's doing great in NXT. Her salary is not extremely high. She is helping Gigi Dolin and JC Jane. And, you know, she is, look, I think everybody realizes this. I'm not comparing Mandy Rose to Adam Cole. I'm not comparing Mandy Rose to Johnny Gargano. I'm not comparing Mandy Rose to anybody who has held the NXT Heavyweight Championship in the last year. But when WWE went back to being developmental for NXT, you can't have wrestlers that have this much ability and star power still and years left when you're trying to bring up all the stars of tomorrow. You look at OVW, you look at Heartland, you look at Florida Championship Wrestling, and almost never did you have an established, current, in their prime person as a heavyweight champion being the nucleus, the focus of that company. So you needed the champions to represent your current product. Mandy Rose is a better representation for the current women's roster in NXT. Now, you saw that ridiculous stuff last week. Oh, they're not doing the Dusty Classic for the women yet because they don't have enough teams. No shit. You and I talked about that for 2-3 weeks in a row. That's a Captain Obvious. That's not news. But why should NXT Developmental be focusing on tag teams right now? They're trying to create the stars of tomorrow. They're trying to give seasoning and try to help, you know, some of the women that are just starting in the business. You look at Stratton, Tiffany Stratton and others. They have less matches than they have on one hand. One hand. So NXT should not have a focus on women's tag teams right now. Why? Why? You got to create the stars first. Then you could form tag teams. And look, let's also be honest here. Look at AEW Dynamite. They have 5 matches a show. 4 of them are usually men and 1 is women. When you get a second women's match, usually there's 6 matches on the show. It's usually 3-1 men's matches. You look at WWE. Their men's matches to women's matches is 3-1, 4-1. So, of course, there's going to be more men's tag teams in NXT than it would be women. You know, you can't go that quota route. Oh, we need 50-50 equal opportunity. You know, at the end of the day, this is a business, everyone. This is not a, you know, making a social statement here. And I know that perception is that you want to, why do you think a lot of these feds are all trying to push intergender matches over and over and over again? Because they think they're making a statement that this is how we're going to have almost as many women on the show than men. And guess what? If their audience wants that, then they continue doing that. But if, and look, especially with TV, you know, Impact Wrestling, they do have quarter hours too with the ratings. They can tell who is drawing and who is keeping the audience and who, you know, people are deciding, and let me change the channel. Let me go do something else instead. So, you know, for some feds, it works. For some feds, it doesn't. So Mandy Rose in NXT, she is a great representation of that current roster. That's not a demotion. That is not a demotion. You'd rather be on the main roster and just lose every match? Seriously. You know, really. I mean, how? Tell me how she's going to leapfrog. I can name you 7-8 women on the main roster. How would she leapfrog those women? You know? I mean, it's leave her alone. Leave her alone, in my honest opinion. So, all right, I have a request here. CJ Rocks, can we get an old school Hawk impression? Well, see, I can't do it. See, I can't, I have not done, and that hurts, man. Well, I just can't do it. She's in the other room. She's like, what the fuck is this guy doing? I have to, like, not think about it first. I don't remember what we did. I did Hank Hill from King of the Hill. I think Hank Hill. No, that's Henry Hill from Goodfellas. I did Hank from King of the Hill on Patreon like 2 weeks ago. And I had Mish cracking up laughing because I didn't think about it first. I used to do Beavis and Butthead beautifully. I know we always do Vince. Vince is easy to do, you know. But, yeah, I just CJ Rock says that works. Okay. You know, maybe later on when I don't think about it, I'll be talking about, hey, you know, this coffee's good. Well, you know, then it might start sound a little bit better because I'm not thinking about it. And I could do more than I could do What a Rush and others. It's just, you know, this freaking stuff. I don't know if you could see it. It's still smoking. Smoking. Oh, yeah. Otis and Mandy. Hey, Mandy. Seriously, I had a debate with Mish last week. He misses Mandy Otis. He misses that Otis. I freaking love this current Otis. In fact, tomorrow I'm going to put up a poll in the chat section before we go live, and I want you to vote tomorrow. Which Otis do you like more? Otis, do we call him Mandy Otis? I don't know. Or, you know, Valentine's Day Otis or this current Otis. I freaking love this Otis. He just looks constantly. He's almost like a white Powerhouse Hobbs. Powerhouse Hobbs. Do I have the video? I may have the video. I don't know. I got to see. I may have the video. See, like I said, I did a terrible job titling these, but I may have the video. Let me see. This will be worth it for everybody, even if you're just listening on the audio side. I don't know if I have it handy. Shit. Oh, yeah, I do. Ha. Ha. This is my favorite Powerhouse Hobbs moment of all time. And yes, I created this myself. Here. He looks like constipated Hobbs. One more time. He always looks constipated. I didn't take a dump today. I fucking love Powerhouse Hobbs. My God, could you imagine Powerhouse Hobbs and Otis as a tag team in WWE? That would be freaking awesome, man. Seriously. Give me that. Give me that. Look at Tucker. We got to, you know what? If I have time tomorrow, I'm going to do that list. We got to look back over the last 2 years of releases and just come up with all the names that have done absolutely nothing or next to nothing in pro wrestling since. I mean, look, good for some who have found outside ventures, not necessarily in wrestling. I was looking at something yesterday with Mojo Rawley, and he was, I think, talking to Ocho Cinco about something with a video game. And I was like, oh, wow, you know, like, good for him. But at the same time, I was like, wow, your wrestling career is pretty much stalled next to nothing. You know, you can't milk that guy, you know, from the Patriots, whatever the fuck freak his name is. You know, there are a lot of wrestlers who WWE let go, you know, and remember Tucker. Tucker was going to make a statement. He was going to do this, and he did nothing. He did nothing. I mean, there are wrestlers who will take that and put it as a chip on their shoulder and really try to take it to the next level. And then there's others that just unfortunately fade away. So Gronk, yes, Gronkowski. So Kevin says, meanwhile, Dolph Ziggler is still on TV getting checks. He should. Dolph Ziggler is excellent. Dolph Ziggler doesn't complain. Dolph Ziggler does his job. Dolph Ziggler still competes on an upper tier level. Of course, he's not a main eventer anymore. Dolph Ziggler is excellent. There is no reason why Dolph Ziggler should be taken off that product. He still gets under people's skin. He's got an incredible physique. He still could wrestle at a top level. So, no, I freaking love Dolph Ziggler. You get no complaints from me about Dolph Ziggler. He's still great. I agree with you, Mike. He's still great. He's not, CJ Rocks, you'd be surprised, you know, what his rumored pay is. And I wouldn't say it publicly. Number one, I'm probably going to be wrong by a little bit. But, you know, he's not making, you know, and put it this way, it's not anything. Like, if you got, once in a while, the list of salaries for the WWE wrestlers gets leaked out. It's not one where you look at the list and you're like, Dolph Ziggler's getting paid this? You know, like, it's nothing like that. It's nothing like that. Ricky Vasquez is asking, do I think Gronkowski will come back to the WWE? Yeah, I do. I do. You know, listen, he still loves football. He still loves football. I know retired, came back and all that, but, you know, he's a pro wrestling fan also. And that guy, there is life after football for Gronkowski. And if it's in the ring, I mean, my God, think about this. 2 years ago, I used to almost vomit on the air when we would talk about Pat McAfee. I couldn't stand Pat McAfee. And I will always credit all of you out there. You all said to me, give the guy a chance. The guy is actually really entertaining. I don't know if it was when I was first introduced to Pat McAfee on WWE television. Wasn't it like one of the WrestleManias? It was like an outdoor WrestleMania. And this guy's wearing like pants. It looked like that he was like just like walked through a flood. They were like down to his knees. I'm like, what goof dresses like that? Then I realized, yeah, somebody who makes millions dresses like that, you know? But a lot of you changed my mind on Pat McAfee and the performance he put on in NXT. I mean, I know a lot of people love, you know, Bad Bunny's performance. I know a lot of people love, you know, some of the non-wrestlers and what they have done in the ring. But to me, Pat McAfee's performance it was the best performance, and I'll tell you why. Because there were so many people in that War Games match, it was never just focus on Pat McAfee. It was never just focus on him. The focus was spread out where you had enough of what he needed to do. And believe me, if some of these non-wrestlers that perform, if they're so unbelievably awesome, amazing, incredible, you know, then why do they only have one match and that's it? You know, Bad Bunny, yeah, he's still performing and he's making, what, billions of dollars? I mean, I never heard of Bad Bunny before wrestling. And not only do I know him now, but I see this guy's got like billions of hits. I'm like, huh? How did I not know this? But I like the guy. He's a wrestling fan. He respects wrestling. That's the thing. Some of these celebrities or athletes that are not professional wrestlers that come in, they respect wrestling and they treat it with respect. They don't treat it like the guest hosts used to do. You know, they really do give a shit about the sport. They grew up as wrestling fans, as kids, where the business was still protected. And although the cat's let out of the bag, and we all know what wrestling is, they still treat it with utmost respect. Gronkowski, respect. Pat McAfee, respect. Anybody that you want to put on that list. Hell, Shaq, put anybody on that list. So, yeah, no, I definitely see Gronkowski coming back. Soulfly, shout out to you, and happy anniversary, Soulfly. I saw you put 13 months. Oh, by the way, I'm going to update this week. I'm going to update the video about becoming a channel member to better explain what everybody gets by being a channel member. You know, when I did that video a year ago, yeah, you know, this is all learning on the job here. I mean, yeah, I'm doing it 25 years, but doing the video and, you know, the preparation and everything behind the scenes is still new to me. But, Soulfly's issues with wrestlers these days is that they don't want to fill roles like they did back in the day. Not everybody could be in the main event. I'm with you, but not for nothing. You look at Bad Bunny's performance. You look at some non-wrestlers' performances. It's worthy of a semi-main event. Now, Bad Bunny didn't close out of WrestleMania. You know, not a lot of these wrestlers didn't close out. I mean, Pat McAfee was one of 10 people in a match. So I will always say, and you know, until I find someone else, I will always say that Pat McAfee's performance was the best because it spread out over a half an hour. It wasn't too much focus. It wasn't too little focus. And they didn't make it look. Lawrence Taylor versus Bam Bam Bigelow. God rest his soul. Miss Bam Bam. If anybody who's newer to these shows that don't know, I became friends with Bam Bam Bigelow before he passed through the Masked Maniac. I'm not going to spend time on it today because today, you know, it's about all of you. And we'll take calls in a couple of moments, I promise you. I think we're going to do the first hour chat and then the rest of the show calls. So we have about 10 minutes left to chat and then we'll take calls. But a lot of people that are newer to the shows don't know this. You know, Bam Bam Bigelow, in his final years before he passed, you know, he had some heavy-duty money problems. And, you know, I was proud and a tear came to my eye when I showed that video a couple of months ago on the Thursday show when the Triple Threat reunited in the Elks Lodge. And, you know, myself and the Mass Maniac were responsible for that. That night, when we were playing, Mass Maniac and I went halves on that show, End of an Era. I mean, obviously, he did all the behind-the-scenes stuff. I was more just money. But he wanted to have a reunion that night. He wanted to reunite the Dungeon of Doom. He loved Kevin Sullivan, loved Kamala, loved those guys. And I said, Maniac, we're in the Elks Lodge. We're in Queens Boulevard, Queens, New York. You know, this is where ECW, you know, had their crazy-ass shows. It's the last ever show at the Elks Lodge. If we're going to reunite anybody, it's got to be ECW. Let's reunite the Triple Threat. And the Mass Maniac is still alive. Happy birthday to him. I last week was his birthday. I told you I'll give him a birthday wish. And he said to me, he goes, Bam Bam right now, little risky. Chris Candido, Tammy right now, little risky. You want them on that show, you got to lay out the money. If they don't show up, you're going to be out that money. And I said, okay. And I paid the money for them out of my own pocket. They showed up. And not only did they show up, they actually, Bam Bam mooned the crowd twice, and they had garbage pelted at them, worse than NWO. So believe me, it was a warm feeling to see that. But there was an incident where Bam Bam Bigelow fell asleep on like the George Washington Bridge. Bam Bam Bigelow was supposed to be at a Mass Maniac, you know, the USA Pro Wrestling show, and we're in the building, and there's nothing with Bam Bam, and we found out he fell asleep in traffic on the bridge. So he had a lot of money issues in the final years of his career, of his life. What am I saying, career? And he wanted me to sell all of his memorabilia on eBay. I talked him out of it. I still have all the photos in my old hard drives. He sent me photos of, you know, Brett Favre helmets. He loved the Green Bay Packers. But what he wanted to sell his motorcycle, wanted to sell all this on eBay for cash because his ex-wife took all his money. But here's the point with wrestling. You look back at WrestleMania, Lawrence Taylor versus Bam Bam Bigelow, and you get a lot of people who will shit on that match. I can't believe fucking Bam Bam Bigelow did the job for Lawrence Taylor. Now, Bam Bam publicly may have gone along with it, you know, just because that was the majority of the view of that match. That man was so happy working with Lawrence Taylor. And Lawrence Taylor gave him a jersey and wrote this big paragraph thanking him for an opportunity of a lifetime, that it's just a memory that will last forever. Bam Bam Bigelow was fucking proud of that match. And Lawrence Taylor, even though people are angry that a football player who has had problems, let's be honest, Lawrence Taylor's had a lot of problems after leaving the Giants and retiring, but this is a guy that came in and main evented WrestleMania and beat Lawrence Taylor. Unacceptable for a lot of people. Let me tell you something. Bam Bam Bigelow really, really respected that match and respected how hard Lawrence Taylor worked and prepared for that match. Lawrence Taylor did not take it lightly. That guy trained and worked his ass off to try to make it work. Of course, people in wrestling, a lot of people were against it for obvious reasons. But I'm telling you, a lot of you get this perspective about that match. And for a long time, I always thought Lawrence Taylor's performance was the greatest by a non-wrestler. But I honestly feel Pat McAfee has surpassed that. And it blows me away how much I'm a fan of Pat McAfee now. So Twix is asking me, better big man. Big man, Bam Bam, Vader, or Big Boss Man? Well, as far as me as a wrestling fan, I know this is, it's, if I'm just talking straight up intimidation, wrestling is a big man, Vader. That guy, I mean, my God, I just in the corner, just punching in the, oh, that guy. And there's a lot of shoot interviews of wrestlers saying, man, I fucking hated having a match with Vader. He put you in the corner and stopped giving you potato shots to the head. Vader was the one. When Ric Flair beat Vader, I mean, as a wrestling fan and also knowing what wrestling was by that time, there was no doubt in my mind that Vader was going to beat the balls out of Ric Flair. Ric Flair won, and for me, it was a total shock beyond belief. I just couldn't believe it with my eyes. Vader was extremely intimidating. I loved Vader. I mean, don't get me wrong. I loved Big Boss Man as well. Hell, if you do a Google search, when Big Boss Man passed, myself and Georgianne, we were the one that handled the online registry and all the funeral stuff. A lot of people don't know that. We did that for him. We did that for Hercules Hernandez. We did that for Crash Holly a little bit. We did it for Road Warrior Hawk. Well, I got to do the... I can't do the Road Rush yet. But, yeah, if you Google my name and Google those names in funeral, you'll see it. You know, I don't put it on my resume. Oh, you know, but Vader for me, Vader, not even close. It's just, look, it's still freaking hot. Let's see what the temperature is. I know for some of you out there, this is probably, that's probably a little boring. But, look, right now, it's still 145. Let's see what the battery life is. Because look, the battery life, there's only 6% left in the battery. So that means this battery lasted, what, about an hour? So, hey, so somebody out there watching the show might, and look, go on Amazon, go on Ember's website, wait for it to get on sale. You could probably get the 14-ounce for like $79. I know it's steep. But you know what's great about it, too? I'm not going to turn this sideways because then I'll drop coffee all over me. The bottom stays pretty cold because the battery is inside. You cannot microwave this. You cannot throw it in the dishwasher. I'm not a salesman for Ember. I get nothing for putting this over. But somebody out there who loves to drink coffee, maybe keeps the at their desk and gets pissed off 15 minutes later. Man, my coffee's cold. So you get, maybe you consider getting one of these. Yokozuna I enjoyed also. Yokozuna was not as mobile. I mean, that guy did incredible things for hit with his weight, but Vader scared me. Vader scared the shit. Look, I met Vader a few times through the Mass Maniac. Outside of wrestling, what a nice man. I remember one time, and believe it or not, I think I'm going to invite the Mass Maniac to come on again for an episode. But one time, Vader could not appear on one of his shows. And if you do Wayback Machine and go to my website, you'll see. In fact, I'll screenshot it next week. I advertised Vader on his show. He called up the Mass Maniac and he and I on three-way with Vader, and he felt terrible that he couldn't appear. I don't remember the reason why, but this man, he's like, Frank, you know, I'll make it up to you. I'll do a show for free. I am really, really sorry on such short notice. And man, talk about soft spoken, nice guy. Would never make you think that he was that vicious of a person in the ring. You know what's funny? Anthony Rojas just said in the chat about the Yeti. Not the Yeti from WCW, it's the Yeti. He says the Yeti does the same thing for 6 hours. I'm going to share something with you right now. And then we'll get ready to take calls. Watch this. Honey! Well, she might be in the shower. She's either taking a shower or she's washing her hands because I think she took a dump. Honey! I think she's taking a shower. She just ordered the Yeti today. She showed me this little mug with the Yeti logo, and they tell you, she's like, yeah, she did. She just ordered it today, this morning. She ordered it, so no joke. Leon White, yeah, Vader, autobiography, absolutely. So we're going to take calls in a couple of minutes, and like I said, please just keep your questions limited to one or two. Let's see how many calls we can get in a short period of time. Because like I said, the last thing I want to do is have anybody just keep hitting redial over and over and over again and they can't get through. So, and don't forget, if you're tuning in a little bit late, mark it on your calendar. It looks like February 24th, Jason Solomonster will be coming on. It'll be a Thursday. I may use the Donversations. Remember 2 years ago, I did a contest. I gave away my AEW heavyweight title. I said, somebody come up with a good name that if I have someone on and we just have casual conversation and somebody came up with Donversations, but I didn't see it. And then after everybody's picks, I said, I don't like any of them. And then it hit me and I said, hey, Don Tony, conversation, let's call it Donversations. And then, I don't know if it was VJ, I think VJ stepped up. He's like, I said that. And I looked back and I was like, motherfucker, now I got to ship him my AEW heavyweight title because that was the prize. So, Steph, thank you very much. Yeah, we broke 25,000. You know, see, people need to understand something about this channel. I'm part of Blue Wire now. And by the way, JD just became part of Blue Wire as well. So now there's 8 wrestling shows on there, and I'm the only one that's not verified. See, people are telling me you should pursue it. Man, I pursued that a couple of years ago, and I, at that time, put links for Twitter that went back to, like, 1999. And, you know, I showed them, like, 20 years worth of stuff, and they came back and they said, nah, that's not enough. I was like, fuck you. Seriously. Somebody told me 2 weeks ago, get a publicist, let them do everything. I'm like, nah, fuck you. Seriously. Doing it for this long and having this much loyalty and then all the stuff that I did outside of wrestling, that's not good enough. That's why do you think so many of these people are writing these awful, dumb, Captain Obvious blogs, articles? You know, they sign up with, not even Sports Illustrated, Shitskita and, what's that finance one, Forbes and us. You click on Forbes. I remember 10, 15 years ago with Forbes. Man, you know, you want financial advice, you want to become a millionaire, you go to Forbes and you read the advice. Now I go on there. Oh, this is why Roman Reigns should remain Universal Champion. I click on it. And I'm reading it, and I'm like, this looks like a 6-year-old wrote it. And then I click on the bio, and the guy still has braces in his teeth. He's like a junior high student. I'm like, this is what you do, and that's the method. People write for these sites. They write a couple of articles, and then they go to Twitter and say, hey, look, yeah. Why do you think people clickbait on YouTube? Why do you think people clickbait and lie? Because they know they'll get all this attention. Look what this motherfucker said, and look how wrong he is, and look at this, and this. No press is bad press. You want to get into it with a wrestler? You want to mess with a wrestler and get all this crazy heat on you? If you get websites to cover your name, you go back to Twitter and say, hey, look, I mentioned here. Boom, blue check mark. But about this channel, you know, 80 to 85% of everybody who tunes in still access the audio only versions. Not a lot of people want to sit by their phone and just look at my ugly face. You know, if you're gonna connect and then put the phone down and not look, you might as well just download the audio version, right? So what happens on this channel is I get a lot of people that subscribe but don't always access the video version. If I'm gonna show, like yesterday we showed Bianca Carelli. We show pictures of Santino Marella's daughter who signed with WWE. Now, I got a few people like, wow, you know, you're a little pervert there, the DT, like showing a pic. I'm like, wait a minute. She's the fucking one to put him on social media for everybody to look at. All he did was just, you know, I'm just a messenger. I didn't sit there in the privacy of my own home with lotion and looking at the pictures. No, I posted it. But the thing is, you know, if there's no reason to look at the video side, people will access only the audio. So a lot of people who subscribe will use the audio more than anything else. And then if they feel the need that they got to look at the video part, then they'll come to the video version. So, you know, that's why I don't make as much of a fuss anymore as far as how many subscribers. And trust me, I love it. But I will never get rid of that audio-only option, believe me. And if you want to look at money, and look for Lee and everybody else tuning in, especially my friend that works for my dad's store. Yeah, there is a legendary podcaster. You know, doesn't have as big of an audience as some other shows out there, but he's been podcasting for a while, and people have no idea he works in my dad's store as a manager. And we've never made it public. You know, I might bring him on one night, and people be like, you're kidding me. But here's the thing. A lot of you may not know this, but the audio side of what I do, if you want to just look at straight up money for any of you aspiring podcasters out there, or maybe someone out there that's watching this right now that has just a YouTube presence, I'm going to tell you something right now. The amount of money that is generated on the audio only side for me is about, I'd say, 15 times more than video. I make 10 to 15 times. I don't make a lot. If I did, trust me, I would stop my insurance business and just do this every single day. I'd do one in the morning and one at night. But it's about 10 to 15 times more than video. Some of my video, you know why I don't do little clips that often? It's not that much work. But you see, like I put up the video about Leo Rush, how he's MIA. This is before he announced he's leaving AEW. You know, got like a couple of thousand views. You know how much YouTube paid for that video to me? 68 cents. Not kidding. People don't understand that you could have 10, 15,000 views. You might get $6 out of it. So that's why when some people out there, as far as the YouTube presence, I do this because I love it. I have fun. I love having a little bit of visual and getting a little bit animated and stuff like that. The freaking traffic light, I get so much feedback. Where did you get that? I want that too. Oh, I have that. The person who gave me this is sending me the one that flashes don't walk. You know, I always wanted the don't walk. So that's going over there. So, all right, let's get ready to take some calls. Richard, JD from New York. He's got a big audio presence too. And, you know, his fan base on YouTube is 10, 20 times, maybe even more than that than mine. He's been on YouTube for a long time and has developed that loyalty. So, you know, it's a lot different for me. For 20 years, I was just the audio side. So, you know, I'm still considered like a rookie in diapers over here. I've just broke my cherry on YouTube. So, but I like, you know, doing the video side. I like being animated. But no matter what, I will always be the boss. I don't do this just to keep a streak that I'm the longest reigning wrestling podcaster in history, and that is true. I don't do it because I do it because you all tune in. So, and that'll continue. I still hear water running. I was going to tell her that, you know, say, hey, what did you buy this morning on Amazon? I bought the Yeti. All right. Let's start getting this ready for calls.
Oh, that's not the right one. It's time for calls.
Okay. So, see, now I'm mad. The battery died, so now it's red. It's red. It's telling me that's it. It's lukewarm. That sucks. What's the temperature of my coffee? Let's see what the temperature of the coffee is. It's down to a paltry 117 degrees. So, you know what's funny about this mug? I was looking at the reviews on Amazon, and there were so many people like, the Bluetooth doesn't pair. I can't get it to work on my app. I set it up. It literally took me 45 seconds. I'm like, are these people that stupid that they don't know how to pair up a phone? It literally walks you through the process. Okay. Just getting the software ready. So we'll take calls, you know, for about a half hour, I think. And again, just please keep in mind, I know some of you may get a little bit annoyed if I repeat this a few times, but I'm going to have to. just as a remind people, you call in, just keep it to like one question or two. So at least we can have others that could call in as well. And look, if we don't get as many calls, you know, then that's different. But, you know, there's, like I said, I don't want anybody to complain. So if you are listening and not looking at the screen, the numbers are 225-366-8669, which is 225-DON-TONY. Or you could call 833-366-8686. I am going to lower this, take this off, do not disturb, and let's see what happens. Sometimes the software screws up. Now, we got calls coming in. Good evening, you're on. Who's this?
Yo, it's A-Rock. Alex, A-Rock. The Green Light himself.
Hey, what's going on?
It's Alex.
Hey, Alex, what's up?
I know you, before you answer me that question, I'll make it one question if I could.
Okay.
But I was going to think about, talk about my personal issues I'm going through, but since you told us that
you can mention that. Sure, go ahead.
No, I mean, maybe some other time, but I want to ask you some wrestling question, and that's going to be the first question, like, since I know there's going to be a quick call for me for this to do. So, right. Anyways, a couple of questions. I mean, just one question, excuse me. This is the first question that's been thinking about. Why are the 80s wrestlers from the WWF at the time are not in the Hall of Fame? Women's like Rocket Robin, if I said her name correctly, Lalania Kai or Judy Martin or Princess Victoria, one of those 80s women in the WWF at the time, why did they're not in the Hall of Fame yet? I just don't understand that.
Well, they might be. I don't know if they're in the legacy. I got to check the legacy side.
But they're alive.
Legacy is not just for being dead is not a requirement for the legacy. Legacy, see, unfortunately, here's the thing. If they would have put some of these women in the mid-90s, it would have been different because it would only been 10, 15 years since they wrestled. So we would have still, they would have been very recognizable names. But for a lot of wrestling fans of today, they've never seen these people compete. They are pretty much, you know, it's not anyone that fans would really, I mean, people would be respectful, but, you know, if they're not in the legacy side already, they will be. But unfortunately, too many years have gone by, and the everyday wrestling fan of 2021, their names are ancient. So that's why they were not put in. But I got to check the legacy side because it would kind of be surprising if all or at least one or two are not on the legacy side.
Yeah, it's just like that's nobody in the wrestling never talks about it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, they just it gets to a point that they wait too long, and now, you know, almost nobody recognizes the names all that much, and then they get thrown in quietly in the legacy side. You know, that's pretty much the deal. I mean, like I said, I got to check, you know, but I'd be very surprised if all of those names are not in the legacy side. I have a feeling that maybe one or two are, but just too many years have gone by.
Yeah. All right, before I wrap this up, I was going to answer my personal what I'm going through, but maybe some other time by the next time call. But I'll do that for one question for next time.
All right,
DT, thanks for the question.
You're
that
welcome.
Means a lot.
All right, have a good night, my friend. Take care.
All right, you too. You take care too.
All right, be well.
All right, bye.
I hope he's all right. Could someone check the legacy wing to see if any of them are in? I'm a little curious. All right, let me open the phone lines again. 833-366-8686. But I have a feeling that they got to be in the legacy side. The Jumping Bomb Angels, Leilani Kai, I mean, Rockin' Robin, they're not even on the legacy side. That's, I don't know. That doesn't sound right. So Lee's checking it out right now, by the way. All right, let's open the phone lines again. 833-366-8686 or 225-366-8669. And if you want to call in, like I said, just, you know, limit the questions like one or two. So I hope people are not like, oh, now I'm not calling in because I can't ask all the questions I want to ask. And, you know, sometimes we get software problems, so hopefully I'm not having any issues right now. But, all right, here we go. All right, just took this off. Hey, you're on. Who's this?
Hello? Hey, DT, this is Nir. How are you doing?
Hey, Nir, what's going on?
DT?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, everything's good.
Good. Awesome.
Good. How are you?
Yeah, I can't complain. Can't complain.
Well, yeah, I'm tired from chemo, but other than that, everything's good.
You're on your last so, one, right?
No. I'm third way there.
Okay.
Let's say.
All right.
I have some time.
Rest.
We're halfway there in the pregnancy department, though.
All right, cool. Just rest. Don't overdo it. Don't think about it. Next thing you know, just like Jim Ross. Jim Ross went through 26 sessions, and, you know, emotionally it's rattling, but you're almost there. And when it's done, what you have is curable, and then you'll end up helping someone else down the line who will go through the same thing. So, you know, you're halfway there, so you just got to – keep your eye on the prize, and you'll be good to go.
Yeah. Optimism is the key, my friend. Yeah. Well, my question is not wrestling related.
Sure.
It's about what's going on with Russia. You know, I think Putin is playing a mobster again, and trying to be the mob of Europe again. And, you know, it sucks because, you see, living in Israel, my relations with everything that comes to war and how unnecessary it is, you know, I just look at it in a different perspective. Why go to a war when you don't have to? That's my father has PTSD from wars that he fought in. He lost members of his tank. His tank blew up and he had to crawl 5 kilometers to shelter. So I know what it's like, and I just don't understand it. Yeah, maybe I'd like to hear your opinion as well, because listen to someone that lives overseas and has a different perspective. Maybe it's interesting to me. But you know, that's my view.
Yeah, it's about power. It's about power and control. I mean, power and control comes in many forms. It comes with trying to, you know, get control of property. Some people feel that it's control using this COVID pandemic. I mean, you know, look, there's been articles, and we've talked about it before, and they're starting to really come out now. There's articles that CDC, I think, just revealed that for people that got COVID that didn't have any secondary condition, didn't have diabetes, didn't have high blood pressure, didn't have any heart issues, did not have a secondary health condition, that of all the people who have died in the United States, only 6% were people who just got COVID. And nothing else, had no other issue. And, you know, there's a lot of people who, you know, have a secondary health issue, could get the flu and pass away, could fall down a flight of stairs, you know, and complications from that pass away. I mean, there's a lot of things, you know, but the point is, a lot of people think that using this pandemic to get control, to tell you to do this, that's why, you know, I can understand some people who do not believe in vaccination. As far as Putin goes, you know, it's about power, it's about control, and it's about who wants to be looked at as, you know, the leader of the world or leader with amount of control. And there's, you got both sides. You have a lot of countries that...
At least the leader of Europe.
The leader of Europe. And the thing is, I don't think this is going to go to full-blown war. I think the conflict will remain for a while. But the point is, I think with Putin, you know, they're not stupid. They see Biden. They see other leaders that are not, you know, really doing anything about it, just talking a good game. And you play, it's mind chess. Okay, I'll tease this, I'll tease this, I'll tease this. And they see how far they could go with it. And then if it doesn't come end up with a giant conflict, somehow Putin looks like more of a good guy. You know, like, you know, all this, you know, hype. You know, I told you I wasn't going to do this. I told you I wasn't going to do that. So it's just, it's about power. It's about control. And it's about ego. And unfortunately, when you're leaders of a country, you're leaders of part of the world, you know, you just, it's very, very addicting. So I'm holding out hope that this is more of mind chess than anything else. But until people in all areas of the world realize they don't want war, this is going to continue. It really depends on who our leaders are in the United States and beyond. And it's that perception. That's why, you know, look, this is not about a Trump thing, but there's a reason why, you know, these talks seem to calm down a little bit, you know, when it came to Putin or it came to North Korea. Then someone else comes in and it's the opposite. So it's unfortunately power and control. And I'm holding that hope that we don't get it. I'm sorry, Kevin, about the beeps. I'm not going to sit here and control a whole mixer board while I'm having conversations. So deal with it. And I'm saying that lighthearted. But yeah, I mean, it sucks. But you know, unfortunately, we have to sit back and see how it plays out, you know?
Yeah, I hope nothing too big will happen. All right, DT, thank you very much.
All right, and much love, my friend. Stay
shout
strong.
Out to Rams fan. Shout out to Rams fan for his help.
Yeah. Much love. I'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye, man.
All right, take care.
Bye.
By the way, Lee did look, and the names that we mentioned earlier are not in the Hall of Fame. Not in the legacy wing. That's surprising. That's very surprising. So, wow. That is surprising. You would think the legacy, you know what? Maybe they're not on the good graces with some of the people. Because, look, I've said it in the past. If WWE's going to put somebody in the Hall of Fame, if I was them, I would put them in, whether on good terms or not. With Bruno, I said this like 15 years ago with Bruno. Put him in the fucking Hall of Fame. If Bruno hates WWE and won't go in, then you have, remember what I said? You have Triple H or somebody come out. Bruno was not available to accept this award, but we accept this on behalf of Bruno San Martino. And you walk off the stage. Put people in the Hall of Fame, and if they don't want to come in and get their award, I mean, it sucks. You want to give them one last thank you. Acknowledgement, but if they don't want to show up and if there's political, you know, issues or, you know, other reasons behind, put them in anyway and just accept it for them. And then if things mend, you turn around, oh, look, too late. This is your only shot. You want to take the award, you show up. So, all right. Hey, you're on. Who's this?
Hey, it's Ken Bling.
Hey, Ken, what's going on?
Good. How are you?
Good. What's on your mind?
So, this is open for, like, Super Bowl questions?
Sure. Absolutely. Whatever you want to talk about. We're good.
All right. So I've always had two people that I've always thought should be in the Super Bowl. One is actually happening this year, which would be Eminem. The other one that I think should have a Super Bowl, you know, at time.
Yeah, Eminem. And who is the other performer? Did we lose him? No, we didn't lose him. I gotcha. I tried to put the other call on hold so it wouldn't beep, and, you know, we had some problems. But you said Eminem was the first choice. Who is the second choice?
I think that Metallica deserves a Super Bowl halftime show.
Absolutely. Have we heard of any reason why Metallica has not performed yet? Could it be a money issue with them? Because you would think Metallica is one of those bands that should have been playing in a Super Bowl maybe 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Who's performing this year?
It's a group of guys. I think it's like Cardi B, 50 Cent. No, not 50 Cent. Snoop Dogg, Eminem. It's like a bunch of rappers.
All right. I'm being honest here. I want to look into this a little bit more. I mean,
DT.
Yeah.
Eminem, Snoop Dogg, Kendrick Lamar, Mary J. Blige, and Dr. Dre.
Well, Mary J. Blige, name from the past. Dr. Dre, I mean, obviously still popular. You know, obviously, you know, you're not going to put, you know, any metal groups in with these guys. So they're doing a rap theme this year. I tell you, I'm curious. I got to look a little bit further to see if there was ever any negotiations or discussions to have Metallica perform. You think over the years, that is definitely a group. Pink Floyd never performed in a Super Bowl, right?
I'm not sure.
I don't think so. Pink Floyd, I don't think he has. Yeah, they're one of my favorites. Now, look, then again with Pink Floyd, when you really think about it, Pink Floyd might be better suited for people that are like, you know, maybe a little bit of, you know, it's a little stoned and you're hanging out and you're looking at the lights and you're just chilling. They want, you know, lively and Metallica. I mean, you get so pumped up with their music. I honestly think Metallica, I'm not making a prediction, but it would not surprise me if Metallica performs in a Super Bowl sometime in the next 5 years. That is an excellent choice. They have enough music.
The only thing that could, you know, give me an idea of why they haven't done it already is because Metallica's songs are so long and there's so many that are so good and you have so much time, you have to cut it down, like, so much.
But they could do a montage. I mean, I would think that Metallica over the years, back when MTV was still doing some things, I'm sure Metallica's performed somewhere on TV, some, you know, and did like a little montage. Any of these bands, they know how they could segue from one song to another. So I don't think the length would be an issue. I think they would probably go maybe a minute or two with a song and then segue to another one. And then they do like a 10, 15 minute block of their greatest songs. I think they should be able to segue into the songs. I think a medley for sure. Yeah.
So your other one is Pink Floyd. Anyone else that come to mind?
See, no. Pink Floyd, I would love to see Pink Floyd, but I think Pink Floyd is too mellow to be for a Super Bowl. It's got to be, you know, there's got to be a certain number of beats per minute. I mean, I know rap is a little bit more chill and everything, but rap, you know, you crank it in a club and everybody dances to it. Pink Floyd, you usually listen to it after the club is over and you're drunk or high or anything else and you just want to hang out with your friends and watch the sunrise. So Metallica is a great one. Prince, because I was a diehard Prince fan growing up, I was very happy when Prince did his performance. But, you know, in recent years, you know, I haven't really thought about it all that much, to be honest with you, because I'm more like with the Super Bowl, I'm not one of those that sits and watches the entire halftime show unless it's like a performer that I really, really loved listening to growing up. Usually when halftime comes on is when I get to do other things and wait until kickoff for the third quarter. So I'm not into really the halftimes.
Okay.
All right. But yeah, Metallica's an awesome choice. That is an excellent choice. I'm telling you.
Yeah, and it is, and it's mind-boggling that they haven't done it already.
Yeah, I swear to you, I'm going to go look after the show is over. I'm going to look online to see. I'm just going to type in Google, just Metallica Super Bowl, and try to see if there's been any discussions over the years and if there's any hint or reason. And I'm sure there's probably tons of forums out there that have asked the same question. How come they haven't performed? You know, like you would think like Metallica, Aerosmith, you know, like some of these pop, I mean, even back in the day, what's his face? Queen, You know, like, you would think, like, these groups, I mean, obviously, Freddie Mercury's no longer with us, but, you know, groups like that, that, you know, people could get into a little bit lively. Yeah, Metallica definitely would be one of them. And they're so iconic. They're so iconic. I think within the next 5 years, unless there is some legit money issues or something, or maybe the, I don't know, but, yeah, that is an excellent choice.
Okay.
All right.
No, that was my question. Friend.
Have a good night. Be well.
You too.
Take care. Yeah. Thank you, Twix. I know Aerosmith was it. My point is, like, you could close your eyes and picture some groups. Like, I was talking to somebody the other day about that group, Yes. And, you know, I remember Yes. I mean, I wasn't alive tuning into them back in 69, but, you know, the first cassette tape that I ever got outside of Michael Jackson Thriller was, Yes, Fragile and Close to the Edge. It was a double album on one cassette. And that album came out in 1969. And I was joking with someone the other day, and I said, yeah, Yes is probably not like a group that anybody really would want to see, you know, in the Super Bowl. They don't have enough songs. You know, I don't think Roundabout would be really widely accepted in 2021. That's like a song you hear like when you're in a mechanic waiting for your car to be repaired, you know? But, that's excellent, man. Fleetwood Mac, yeah, I could see that. Anybody would like a lively pop? Yeah, I could see that. So, all right, let's take another call. Good evening, you're on. Who's this?
When you got a lot of money in your pockets.
Oh, man. Rams fan, what's up? I recognize
Dom Marie?
Yeah.
No good.
Yeah,
Marie,
no good. You know, a lot of people don't remember that. I admit I do feel guilty saying that Kamala was a straight-up liar, especially since he's no longer with us. But, you know, when that controversy went down, I saw all the papers behind the scenes. And, you know, I don't know if I want to repost those old episodes, but, you know, Kamala came across as somebody who felt was owed more. And I agree, he definitely deserved more. He deserved without a doubt, but what was promised to him and what he expected was two totally different things. And, you know, the accusations he was making about Dawn Marie was wrong. I still have a lot of saved emails, not because I hoard them, but I have my old email account still. And I have those old emails with Dawn Marie. And Kamala was wrong. I mean, nobody ever proved, he never proved himself to be right. I mean, we won't revisit that, but it was just a messed up situation. And then, unfortunately, what happened to him with his legs and then he passed, you know, let the man rest in peace. That's how I look at it.
True.
Yeah.
So I'm going to keep it short and simple like I usually do.
Okay.
I got one statement, and then I'll have one question that you can answer when I hang up. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Pat McAfee, this is my statement. Bro, you try hard, like, combo of Ventura, Heenan, whatever else you want to throw in there. He's like, what was that guy who started off Monday Night Raw, Rob Bartlett?
Oh, yeah.
It's like a mixture of that, like all three mixed into one. Like, bro, you're too hammy. Okay, and here's my question. Why is Sasha Banks the greatest thing since sliced bread? I'm out.
Okay. Be well, my friend. Now, I don't know if Rams fan is being sarcastic about Sasha. And let me continue. And if you're in the chat, Rams fan, just say yes or no as far as sarcasm. I think what Rams fan is saying is, in the eyes of some fans out there, why is Sasha Banks considered the greatest of all time? Is that what you're talking about, Rams fan? Is why do fans perceive that? No sarcasm. Okay. All right. If you want me to make the argument of why some feel that way, Sasha Banks is, I don't want to get myself in trouble. And it's not a sexual thing, by the way. If I think Sasha Banks is one step below Charlotte, She might be one step below Becky Lynch as well. I put her on the same plane as Asuka. I might even put Sasha Banks a tiny bit above Asuka, and I'll tell you why. If there was any negative about Sasha Banks, it's a little bit of her on the mic. Look, you know, I don't make fun of anybody with a lisp. Or if you actually listen to Sasha Banks sometimes, you know, her promos, you know, it sounds like she's got marbles in her mouth. Sasha Banks, though, is she's got the look. She's got the appeal. She's got the attitude. She's got the confidence. She is basically the EST, more than the EST, than Bianca Belair. At some point, Bianca Belair will be on that elite level. She's on her way. But you also take Sasha Banks and how she did in The Mandalorian, and she's got that outside appeal. She shows up at the ESPN Awards. By the way, is Britt Baker and Thunder Rosa going to be at the ESPN Awards this year? Is that going to be a memorable moment? You know, I mean, and I'm not knocking AEW. It's more of, you see what happens, Pro Wrestling Illustrated, and what was that other magazine? They gushed over AEW because they knew that every AEW star would pose with their award. For ESPN, you know, they're more WWE. They pose with the WWE stuff. But Sasha Banks, she's got appeal outside of wrestling as well. She was legit. I saw some of the work in The Mandalorian. I don't like Star Wars stuff. I never did my entire life. I like Spaceballs. You know, I don't like Star Wars. I never was into Star Wars. I was into Star Trek, but not Star Wars. But I saw some of her work in The Mandalorian, and she is very, very talented. What I think separates Sasha Banks with a lot of people out there is whatever she tries to do, she puts in 200% effort. And it shows. It shows. She puts it in with her physique. She puts it in with her look. She puts it in with her acting ability. She puts it in with her wrestling ability. Everything that Sasha does, she tries to do it on an elite level, and it shows. So for those younger fans of today that didn't experience the Medusas, that didn't experience, you know, some other women's wrestling, you know, if they feel that Sasha Banks is the greatest, I can't criticize them for that. You know, the only reason why I put her a slight nod under Charlotte is because Charlotte, she just cuts a better promo. Charlotte, main event talent, Sasha main event talent. Charlotte just gets under your skin that people just want to see her get. Listen, WrestleMania, like I said, since day one, Ronda Rousey is her opponent because people want to see Ronda beat the shit out of Charlotte. That is for the Becky Lynch treatment. That is for her no selling for Dana Brooke. That's for Charlotte, you know, not putting it like taking bumps for Liv Morgan. That's for all of the people that have made claims that Charlotte Flair, when it comes to herself, she'll do moonsaults and all this other stuff. But when it's other opponents trying to hit their moves, she doesn't really sell as much. There are so many reasons. And Charlotte Flair, she's not an evil person, but as far as a character goes, she doesn't know. Nobody does it better. Her character is to be the bitch, the heel, the person you want to see get the shit knocked out of. Jade Cargill may call herself that bitch show, but Charlotte is the ultimate bitch. And I say that as a compliment. So, John Bella thinks Charlotte is horrible. Look, I respect anybody that doesn't like Charlotte, but for me, she's the greatest. Hey, you're on. Who's this?
Hey, DT. Hey. Steven.
Hey, Steve. What's going on?
Oh, not much, man. I just wanted to talk to you about, first, Karrion Kross. I know that he finally started wrestling again, and he looks pretty good.
Yep, he is. He's got a massive chip on his shoulder. He would go back to WWE under the right circumstances. Karrion Kross, you know, he's a friend of the family, and I say this with nothing but respect for Karrion Kross. I guarantee you. And look, when I'm going to ask him to come on this year, and I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse. There's no way Karrion Kross can say no, unless, you know, contractual obligations will. But I will say this. Remember this conversation, everybody out there. I guarantee you Karrion Kross will have some guilt, whether rightfully so or not, but I think Karrion Kross is going to have some guilt that he probably should have handled this differently, that he may have been partly responsible for WWE losing faith and doing what they did. He might take some of that responsibility, and because of that, the man, and I'm not saying this because I'm a fan of his, the man has worked harder than nobody else in such a short amount of time from being released. You look at his physique, you look at his videos, you look at his promos, you look at everything he's done. Even if you don't like the man, there's no dispute that 90 days, that guy has totally transformed himself. And no one else has come close to putting in that much work. I joked about Tucker before. Look at Tucker in 90 days after he was released, and look at Killer Kross. And then you say to yourself, who seems like they want it more? It's not even close.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And, I mean, I also been watching, like, his different interviews and stuff, like, with Conan and, like, Disco Inferno and just everything that he's been on, and just, like, him, like, talking about, like, the whole situation and everything. And, I mean, and, I liked what I had to say, what he's had to say and everything. If he goes on your show, I think that would be pretty cool. Because I'll tell you this, man, I definitely watch you, and I watch a lot of JD, and I like some of his opinions and stuff, and like what he has to say sometimes too. It's definitely like pretty good. Like you get like a good mix of what you guys have to say and stuff like that.
Yeah, everybody's different. Everybody's different. You know, everybody's got a different viewpoint, different opinion, and that's a good thing. That's always a good thing. Yeah.
And what are you thinking about this, the debut on Wednesday? Because a lot of people, it's been going everywhere. It could be Keith Lee. It could be, like, Jeff Hardy and stuff. I saw online that, Bray Wyatt, like, we finally got, like, a photo of, like, Bray Wyatt after, like, so long. Like, he's out and about. I know that he had, like, a movie that he's supposed to, he's been, like, working on and everything. And, like, who do you think is going to be debuting on Wednesday?
Check out last night's show, because we spent about 20 minutes breaking down each person. Yesterday we talked about Killer Kross. We talked about Jeff Hardy, Keith Lee. I even put my fantasy pick of Mustafa Ali. I can't remember who else we brought up yesterday. We also talked about Johnny Gargano a little bit. I think at the end of the day, it's probably Jeff Hardy. Only because you look at his opponent, Isaiah Cassidy, I think Jeff Hardy would fit it better. But for me, just as a fantasy, I wish it was Mustafa Ali. Because I don't think so, but my fantasy pick, because I remember what it felt like when Lex Luger showed up on Nitro, when he was a WWF guy all that time. I remember when Medusa threw the title in the trash. I remember when Rick Rude showed up on Nitro the same week he was on WWF and ECW. So if Ali were to show up in an AEW ring with the WWE contract and they shred it or tore it up and threw it in a garbage pail, that would truly, you look back on the WWE versus AEW war, Mustafa Ali would probably be the focal point that just lit the fuse. So, you know, that's my fantasy pick, fantasy, but I think it comes down to Jeff Hardy or Keith Lee for mostly everybody. But yesterday, like I said, check out the clip from yesterday. There's a timestamp, and I think we were very fair when we got into every person.
All right. Yeah, definitely will, man. Okay. And do you think that we'll finally be able to see Bray Wyatt anytime soon? Or you think that it's just because of the stuff with the movie and everything that we haven't seen him yet?
He's got the movie. So right now, that's the focal point than anything else. I put in, again, yesterday, I put up a link during the show of some teaser videos that are on YouTube, you know, teasing what's next for Wyndham in wrestling. So if you look at the clip from yesterday, it's mixed in with that discussion as well. You'll see the link that I'm talking about, and you'll see Bray Wyatt, and you'll see his brother also teasing some appearances. So it's definitely worth a look.
All right. Thank you. Well, thanks, man.
My pleasure. Yeah, I promise you. Watch that clip. You'll enjoy it.
Oh, I will. Yeah, I enjoy a lot of your stuff, man. So thanks. Thank you, DT. I appreciate it. Thanks for taking the time to talk to us.
Much love. Have a good night.
Yeah, you too.
Yeah, if anybody didn't see that clip yesterday, I have the timestamps up. Watch it, because there's some really good discussion. Argument for each person. But I think at the end of the day, I think it really comes down to Jeff Hardy first. But if you looked at the poll results yesterday, you all chose Keith Lee, number one. Now look, Keith Lee just got married a couple of days ago. Everybody's trying to figure out if Keith Lee's on his honeymoon right now. Did they go to Atlantic City for their honeymoon? I'm not sure. Did they postpone their honeymoon? So let's, you know, keep that factor as well. If they're on their honeymoon overseas, I don't think they're showing up on Wednesday's Dynamite. And really, got to think of simple things like that. So it's possible. And by the way, for everybody who has called in so far, props to all of you for keeping it minimal. This is awesome, because everybody, even the feedback in the chat room, everybody loves it. You know, not trying to shortchange, but look, if we keep it like this, we could do this every single week. We don't have to rotate every other week. So if you want to call in, I'm going to open the phone lines again now. You know, like I said, just keep the questions one or two at the most, so we can give everybody a fair chance to call in. So there was something that somebody brought up a few moments ago. There was also a super chat that I missed. Bob the Builder said this early. Thank you very much, my friend. If I'm a promoter and I had to choose someone for my promotion for the next 10 years, who do I choose, MJF or Austin Theory? MJF. For the simple reason that MJF, when he took on Darby Allin, he had an excellent match. When he took on CM Punk, he had an excellent match. But because of the psychological factor and him being such a heel, that people are happy if he just gets his ass kicked. So the guy doesn't have to jump off a ladder, you know, do all this insane stuff that, you know, one false move and you could be in the hospital. You know, MJF is a ground player. He has a ground game. So he is the safer of the two. The funny thing is, and I really believe this, and this might upset some people out there, but, you know, like Sammy Guevara, as years go by, he's going to realize he doesn't have to do the insane shit that he does to stay as over. Austin Theory is already learning this on the job. Austin Theory will do some, you know, aerial moves, but he doesn't have to do the insane shit. Austin Theory, they're focusing more on the psychological aspect. You know, the selfies, getting under your skin, that's not going to be a permanent thing. But Austin Theory, you know, everybody knows my appreciation for him, but if I had to choose the two, it would be MJF. And it's not even close, to be honest with you. And Chris Silver, thank you very much for the five spot, my friend. I appreciate that. Am I excited for Brock and Roman at Mania? Do I think it should be a triple threat with Seth? No. My original idea was Seth Rollins versus Kevin Owens. And I really believe that the opening seeds were planted on Monday when Kevin Owens got angry that Seth got a spot in the chamber without having a qualifying match. We all know Kevin Owens ain't going to Saudi Arabia. But storyline purposes, the fact that KO got annoyed at Seth getting the spot without having a match, that is a seed planted. I don't want to see Kevin Owens turning on Seth Rollins. I think they can have a year as a team. But Seth Rollins is in a league of his own right now, getting over as a babyface. And obviously Kevin Owens is not going that same route. So I understand why it's going to happen. So no, I'd rather see Seth versus Kevin Owens at Mania. And I am very excited for Brock versus Roman. I don't know how I feel about title versus title. If you remember my day one recap, I brought up the scenario about title versus title if Brock was in an elimination chamber and won it. So this is a discussion we've already had. But I also think of the two nights, and we brought it up yesterday. You have two nights of WrestleMania. I feel each night has to have the men's heavyweight champion and the women's heavyweight champion being defended. So you have the WWE Championship and the Raw Women's Championship, the Universal title and the SmackDown Women's Championship. I think each night deserves one of each. And if you do title versus title, then that doesn't happen. Unless, and I'm not saying this is going to happen, but what if they had Brock versus Roman, title versus title, and then the winner of that match the second night takes on someone else? I'm not saying that's going to happen, but that's the only way you could get two men's heavyweight championship matches on both nights. And I don't think Roman is going to work two nights in a row, even though he has. You know, if you think of SmackDown, you think of house shows, but it's usually tag team. Brock, hey, anything is possible, but you're at Mania. And you're not going to put out two Mania matches two nights in a row going balls out like that. I don't think anybody would really do that. So I'm not sure about title versus title. I know it's a tease right now, but, you know, I'm still not sold that Bobby Lashley's losing this belt this quick. You know, I said all along, Bobby Lashley had to beat Brock Lesnar. He needed that win to cement his legacy. But we don't want to look back at it. Oh, they had Bobby Lashley beat Brock just so he has that win, and then they took the title off of him almost immediately. I don't think anybody wants that. I think people would be very pissed off. And the conspiracy theorist online would be like, oh, you see what they did to Big E? Now look what they did to Bobby Lashley. Bobby Lashley didn't even have the belt for 2 months. You know what I mean? So, you know, you got the conspiracy theorists out there that think it's a skin color thing. It's more of a creative issue. So I don't want Bobby Lashley to lose that title at Elimination Chamber. But remember what I said January 1st, the night of day one, Saudi Arabia, next to The Undertaker, Brock Lesnar is their superhero. And Brock Lesnar winning a high-profile match is almost a requirement in Saudi Arabia. So do they have Brock Lesnar lose? Not so sure about that. So, all right. I think we're going to start bringing this home because, believe it or not, we actually are almost at 2 hours. Drew McIntyre versus Baron Corbin at Mania. I don't think anybody wants to see that. My God, I'm hoping that WWE decides to make that a SmackDown match in the near future. Lee's telling me don't jinx it. You know, look, if they go Bobby Lashley versus Big E, which, again, it's such a long shot right now, but if they were to go that route, then literally every match that we forecasted will end up happening. I don't know what you do with Big E at WrestleMania. I mean, you have him team up with Kofi. You know, what? I don't want the Usos again. I mean, you know, they going, no, don't revisit that. But remember, Big E on SmackDown likely is just temporary until, you know, King Xavier Woods is able to return. You know, as much as people don't like the way Big E is being used right now and they feel disrespected, Big E is helping his brother. He's helping Kofi because other than that, Kofi's got nobody, you know, in storyline to have his back during whatever he's doing on SmackDown. They're not pushing Kofi as a singles guy right now. If Xavier didn't get injured, Big E would probably still be on Raw. I think we all can agree on that. This is just temporary. Big E's not 45 years old. Big E's not going to retire in the next year or two. There's plenty of time for Big E to get that opportunity back. And it will happen. It may not happen based on our schedule, but it'll happen. It will happen. By the way, WWE has a little special, I think, Goldberg at 54. I watched a little teaser earlier of Big E and Goldberg having a conversation. Go on Twitter and go check that out, that little teaser. I thought that was pretty cool. I mean, Big E showing a lot of respect for Goldberg. You would think in 2021, that should not be the case. But, you know, like I said, you look at Big E more and more. The guy's a professional. The guy knows, you know, he's a team player. He may not deep down inside be thrilled with the way things have changed recently, but he understands what's best for business. Listen, guys, I'll leave you with this. You know, you read, and we talked about this 2 months ago. When you have releases, you have ratings going down, and you have some creative bullshit, that's when you get the news articles. The morale in the locker room is low right now. If NXT starts going up in the ratings and they're putting on some nice matches on TV, then you'll get the news reports. The morale in NXT is much better than what it was a couple of months ago. Remember, you had Ringside News that said by WrestleMania, NXT 2.0 will look completely different. It's not going to happen. It's bullshit. And when that comes, you know what they're going to say? Oh, WWE changed their mind. They're focused on WrestleMania. So they just decided to put off. This is guessing games. And for a lot of people, they take their emotion and try to turn it into news. That's why, like I said, when Road Dogg made his comments on social media, not one of these people that was so against NXT 2.0 and the whole Triple H stuff that do shows or write news, not one of them stepped up and challenged Road Dogg. They all were away on vacation that weekend because they knew that if they get confront, if they confront Road Dogg, who even though he was let go, still, you know, understands why things are happening, you know, their credibility is shot. So when people are around for them to really, you know, confront, that's when everybody disappears. That's how the sausage is made, everybody. So this idea that morale is down, listen, you look at the major players in WWE. Seriously, you look at the major players from Roman Reigns to the Usos to the New Day to Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn and Seth Rollins. And I mean, we could name 30, 40 guys at least. You look at each individual and you tell me, you think their morale is down? If anything, people, I could understand, okay, Big E, disappointed, didn't expect his reign to end the way it did. But when you look at everybody else, you tell me, why would Sami Zayn's morale be down right now? Why would Kevin Owens' morale be down right now? Why would the Usos' morale be down right now? Why would Kofi's morale be down right now? Why would Drew McIntyre's morale be down right now? Why would Sasha Banks, Charlotte, Becky Lynch, Bianca Belair, why would their morale be down right now? When you actually start, I could understand, oh, maybe Drew Gulak, his morale is down right now. You know, he's not being used all that well. You know, I could see, but when you realize it, most of the people who are let go, those are the ones that you would have to say, okay, their morale is down right now, even before they were let go. But the people who they kept, you look at each individual person, there is really no argument why their morale would be down. WWE kept them. Everybody's looking out for themselves. They're not, their morale's not going to be down because a few other people got released. So everybody knows their worth. And WWE is focusing, and I'm not defending WWE, but again, you know, I know these broad statements sound powerful and they sound like they make sense. But when you really start dissecting it, Shane McMahon is a freaking McMahon. Shane McMahon has been around Vince and the Attitude Era and some of the most vile storylines and a lot of other shit. He had his testicles electrocuted. You know, Shane McMahon knows what goes on behind the scenes. He's not some bastard child that they just threw out on the street. No, creatively, they said, you know what? I don't think this is a good idea for WrestleMania. Is his pride hurt? Sure. Is his ego hurt a little bit? Sure. But trust me, he ain't looking for a new dad. He ain't looking to fuck WWE in the coulee. That's not the case. Triple H. People are acting like his kids have disowned him. That Stephanie doesn't sleep in the same bed anymore. That Vince, you know, doesn't call him up. How do you feel today? You know, like, no, they just want him to be a clown. Hey, did you get my clown nose? Did you put the makeup on? Are you sitting in the corner like the dunce you are? They're not doing any of that. But again, that's the teaser. That's why you looked last week. Vince fires his own son. Really? Seriously? I know we want to have fun with it, and people have fun with it. I get it. I'm not a party pooper. But when you really start breaking this stuff down, the worst was the NXT one. That was the worst one of them all. That WWE is disappointed that fans did not gravitate more to the NXT star. What do you mean gravitate? Stalk them outside the arena? Buy the merchandise that doesn't exist? The ratings have been pretty much consistent. The people who are live in the audience are having a great time. They're loud, they're vocal. What do they mean by gravitate? Try to grab somebody's ass when they're walking down the rampway? What do you mean gravitate? Makes no sense. And we read, what, 38 wrestlers in NXT? And not one of those 38, their value has gone down in 3 months. What does that even mean? But people just want to ride that negative emotion, and it doesn't make sense. So, all right. With that said, I am going to jet out of here. So we are right at the 2-hour mark. I hope everybody enjoyed tonight's show. I had a blast as always. Great chat, conversation, great calls, awesome topics. And I thank everybody for, keeping the calls a little bit shorter. I mean, I know some of you didn't get the opportunity to call in, but, still some great discussions. And I think we'll do this again next week. There's no reason why we need to rotate every other week. But, if you want to call in next week and, you got a topic on your mind, remember, it doesn't have to be WWE or AEW. It could be wrestling, non-wrestling, whatever you want to talk about. And that is it. My thoughts on the Alexa therapy? None. Storyline to bring her back. She was never supposed to be in the Royal Rumble. She was never advertised. She was never in the pictures. And then people report on news, Alexa Bliss was never considered for the Royal Rumble. Oh, yeah, Captain Obvious. I didn't fucking see her in the graphic for the month that they were showing the commercials for the Royal Rumble. I mean, it's not news. So they are what they are. So everyone, it's been great. I'm making sure I didn't leave anybody's questions out. We are good. We are good. MVP's not wrestling him. It's WrestleMania. Ain't happening. All right, everybody. Much love. If you're around tomorrow night, Mish and I will be here at 11:05 for Breakfast Soup Raw. Sometime this week, I'll probably post a thread in the community section that, I got to talk to Jason to see what he wants to actually do on that Thursday the 24th. I don't want it to be straight up just question and answer. I mean, I definitely want to have some discussion about the current product, WWE, AEW. But maybe we'll just keep it for live questions for that night because we would love for everybody to tune in live. So we'll see. But as of right now, the tentative date is February 24th. And, once that happens, I'll work on who else we could bring on. And we'll do this throughout the year. We'll have some fun. And I want to thank him for, saying yes, obviously. And I want to thank all of you. Because I left this up to you, who you want to see. And Jason was number one on that list. And there's others as well. So I will definitely get in touch. I definitely want to bring Brian Clark on this year. I definitely want to bring Vince Russo on this year. Karrion Kross, Killer Kross, definitely. But I want it to mean something. I don't want to just have someone on just to get press and just to say they were on. I want it to have a specific meaning, because I don't want to say, how did you get into the wrestling business? They've answered that question 50,000 times. So, I want it to mean something. So we'll see. We have the whole year to work on it. So thank you, everybody. On the way out, if you enjoyed tonight's show, you could do the show a solid by giving it a thumbs up. If you're not a subscriber yet, if you want, subscribe. This way you're alerted when we have shows and some special episodes. And what I have to think about now is if we're going to call these special episodes Donversations or if we do something else. So that's my job to work on. But everyone, you have a great night. Enjoy Raw. And I hope to see you Monday night, 11:05 p.m. Be well, everybody. Stay safe.